On Baby Street by Jenny Eclair and Julie Ballou, starring Francis Barber, Keith Allen, Kathy Burke and Jenny Eclair. Ah, Baby Street. How good to be back. I see there has been an invasion of wheelie bins. It's been a while. Autumn is upon us. I have been stripping the trees and dropping conkers onto the heads of unsuspecting passers-by. But now I have more domestic duties to see to. It's time to check up on my pregnant ladies, Geraldine, Shona and Yvette. Physically, they are doing well, though Shona's gums bleed a little, and Geraldine has an unsightly blue vein behind her knee, putting Robert right off his favourite after-dinner cheese. Uteruses are thickening, and the 12-week-old fetuses have grown as long as a finger and weigh the same as a fat prune. I shall visit them in turn, beginning with Geraldine. It is her birthday, after all.
Oh, oh, God. I was having the most awful dream. I dreamt the baby was half rabbit and had the most enormous ears and very sharp teeth, and you said, well, that's fine, it can live at the bottom of the garden. Robert? Robert? Where are you?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Good morning, Geraldine. How does it feel to be 40, old girl?
40. The same age as my bra size these days.
Yes. Well, I'm sure the swelling will go down. Coffee?
Robert, you know I can't stomach coffee at the moment. I'll have a chamomile tea.
Oh, tut, tut, tut. Herbal tea today, ethnic skirts with bits of mirror on them tomorrow. What next, Geraldine? A rock festival on the front lawn?
Oh, for God's sake, Robert, it's my birthday. Give me a break.
Here's your cards.
Oh, look. Here's one from Dominic.
Postmarked Australia, I hope.
I don't know why you have to be so horrible about my brother.
There were boys like him at my prep school, Geraldine, and if, like me, you had blonde, curly hair and wore shorts, they made your life very difficult.
I can't imagine you with hair. I mean curls. Maybe the baby will have blonde curls.
Oh, look, he's written in purple ink. No normal man writes in purple ink. I'm not saying he's a pervert, but he is.
Robert!
You know what I mean. Anyway, let's not spoil things. I've got a surprise for you. Close your eyes and come with me. And put a house coat on.
Oh, Robert. You can be sweet sometimes. What is it?
Open your eyes.
It's a rowing machine.
Happy birthday, darling.
There are certain gifts that are grounds for divorce. Slippers, bread bins, and rowing machines for expectant 40-year-olds. Robert, your wife has no pearls for her ears. What are you thinking of, man? Geraldine, I am sorry. It's not as if you can pick it up and throw it at him. Kitchen knives would have been better. Geraldine has a busy day ahead. It's her birthday. She has taken the day off. She has appointments. Dinner with Robert, lunch with her mother, and at 9:40 a.m, she is seeing her doctor in Harley Street.
Mr. Keane will see you now, Mrs. Clifford. You know the way.
Ah, Geraldine, do have a seat. How's Robert? Thought I was going to have the pleasure last Tuesday. Bridge, never showed. So, what's the trouble? Menopause? Several butchers at your notes. I see you're not taking Prozac. Fancy some. See, all my ladies are hooked. Swear by it. Waterworks, all right? I must say, you look fine. Though, if you're interested, an old pal of mine is offering air miles with liposuction. A few sessions and you could be in New York. Wonderful idea. By the way, do you want to try some of these? Job lot from Amsterdam. Not strictly kosher. Slimming pills. Ideal for ladies who lunch but don't want to look as though they do.
Doctor, Harold, I...
Can't sleep? Me neither. Not until I prescribe myself some of these little fellows. Now I sleep like a baby. Well, not strictly like a baby. I don't wake up every 4 hours screaming for the breast and needing my nappy changing. For a start, I don't wear nappies. Or rubber pants, for that matter.
Robert wants me to talk to you about...
Rubber pants, why on earth do you... Geraldine, we really must clear this up. I do not wear rubber pants.
I'm having a baby.
Oh. Oh, well, that's all right. Oh, well, no. No, it isn't, is it? Well, it's the last thing you want. Successful career woman, mean tennis player, no stretch marks. Well, let me sort this out. Now, there's a few clinics I can recommend. The Postlethwaite, around the corner. All the Middle Eastern princesses go there. I understand they do a marvellous breakfast buffet. Home shopping channel in every room. Or there's the Sanderson, lovely grounds, just off the M40. Peacocks on the lawn, make a weekend of it. Robert can go. They do family rooms. Well, sort of. There's a golf course for the father-not-to-be. Sure, people go back time and time again. Or here, look, have a look at the brochure for the Gables. Fabulous surgical gowns.
Dr. Keane, I want this baby.
Pardon?
I want this baby more than anything I've ever wanted before. Manolo Blahnik shoes, Tuscan villa, convertible Mercedes, all these things I have desired in the past. I now desire this baby.
But what about Robert?
Well, only after a chilled bottle of Chardonnay. Oh, I see. Well, Robert doesn't know that he wants this baby yet. He doesn't like change, but he'll get used to it. Like when I had my hair cut short.
Forgive me for saying so, Geraldine, but bringing a new hairstyle into the home is hardly the same as a new baby. Now, you should terminate this pregnancy and grow your hair. Look, if we could get moving, I can book you into the Sanderson. You see, they're offering a special rate, 2 for the price of 1. So, if you know anyone else in the same predicament...
I think I'd better go.
Geraldine is angry. She is upset. She will still have to pay Dr. Keane's extortionate consultancy fee. In her haste, she has also left behind her favourite Georgina von Etzdorf scarf. Happy 40th, Geraldine. It's cold today. I'm not complaining. After all, it is my fault. Geraldine will be chilly without that scarf. Yvette is freezing. She is in the park. Her imitation leather jacket, courtesy of Larry, is unlined. And like Yvette's life, it is coming apart at the seams. She has come here to tell Larry that he is the father of her unborn child. Larry could keep her warm. He could put his arms around her. But look at Larry, seated at the other end of the bench. Larry would rather not have met Yvette today. Today he must look after his son Kevin, a nasty, sly-eyed, knit-infested boy of 8. Kevin's mum has got a split shift. I mean, she has to work. Larry adores Kevin. He's just like Larry was at his age.
Come on, you little weasel, kick it! Come on, kick it, son, give it some welly! Now, Kevin, the football, not the bleeding squirrel. He's my boy, all right.
Oh, Larry, you're a wonderful dad, you really are.
Oh, I know, that's what I told the judge. No visitation, right? When I asked you, imagine the poor little sod going through life without me to look up to.
Oh, you silly wonker.
Yeah, oh, you're a natural, Larry. All the kids love you.
Yeah, so do all the girls.
Larry.
Yes, my little chicken nugget.
Oi, Kevin! Pull up your bleeding pants. There's pensioners in this park, you know.
Sorry, where were we?
No, get off a minute.
What's wrong? You ain't going frigid on me, are you?
Of course not. I was just thinking. Wouldn't it be nice for your Kevin to have a little brother or sister?
Oh, it would not be bleeding nice. Besides, Trudy's had her bits cut out, so there's no chance of that happening.
I thought you said you weren't sleeping with Trudy anymore. You said you two had separated and didn't even speak.
Well, we don't.
It's not the speaking that's bothering me. Have you been lying to me, Larry? Tell me, I want to know.
Oh, listen, darling, things are good as they are, all right? I mean, you know the situation. Myself and Trudy are as good as over. But it's just that she's a good-looking woman with normal urges, and I don't want them urges being satisfied by someone else. She's still my wife and a mother of my child, remember?
Oh, really? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Reproductive Organ. I'm pregnant and it's yours.
Oh, you stupid bint.
So you're not pleased then?
No, I am not. Oh, look, we had a bit of fun. A roll around on some perfectly good leather tracksuits that weren't going to sell, and that's all. Anyway, how do I know it's mine?
You, of course it's yours. I know Tom.
All right, calm down. I don't want Kevin asking questions.
That'll be the day. You have to string a sentence together first.
Look, I'm sorry, Yvette, love. You're a good-looking girl and I swell up just thinking about you, but it wouldn't work. See, I love my wife and my son, Kevin. I nearly lost him once and I'm not about to do it again.
But, Larry, this is your baby too. Oh,
do yourself a favour, girl. You're 17 years old. Here, look. Take this and disappear.
What?
It's 200 quid. I think I can trust you to do the right thing.
Dad, I think this squirrel's dead.
Right, that's my boy. All right, tell Ari, but give us a call when you're feeling up to it. We'll go down to Dogs and celebrate.
Even I am cold now. There is something about Larry that makes me shiver. Inside for me, to the warmth of a well-known department store. I want to see how Shona is getting on. Today she leaves work despite only being 12 weeks pregnant. Shona does not want to exert herself. The girls she works with are throwing her a combined leaving and baby shower party. It's meant to be taking place in the canteen, but some people are smoking in the canteen. Shona, phobic about passive smoking, has taken refuge in the non-smoking toilets on the third floor. There she sits, locked in a cubicle. Shona spends a lot of time locked in toilets at the moment, constipation being a common enough side effect in pregnancy.
Are you all right in there? Shona! It's us, Marie and Sophie!
What's the matter? You've been in there ages.
Oh, girls, I'm just so happy. I can't stop crying. I cry when I wake up. I cry all day. And when I go to bed, I'm still crying. It's my hormones. They're just so hormonal.
Oh, we're really going to miss you, Shona. Just think, no more vivid lunch hour accounts of amniotic fluid, breast milk and 10 centimetre dilated cervixes. From now on, it's just a copy of Hello magazine and a Kit Kat for me.
Oh, it's lovely. Irene from Menswear's crocheted me a lime green Moses basket. Oh, she's ever so thoughtful.
Oh, well, she's got the time now, what with her husband still in a coma. Not having to rush back and get his tea on must be a boon. We can't crochet and stuff an aubergine at the same time. I know.
Here, I'm passing you another ginger ale and courgette.
You're smoking out there, aren't you?
Just a Dunhill.
I can't breathe. My baby's choking. You've smoked me out. Open the window. We're going to have to sit on the windowsill. Now, pass me my drink. Oh, Tar, that's better. Fresh air.
So, what do you want? A boy or a girl?
I don't mind as long as it's human.
Have you thought of any names yet?
Well, we thought Shona for a girl and Ian for a boy.
That's not very imaginative.
Really? Why not?
Here, I'm going back to the party now. I promised Geoffrey from Sportswear a shag and I can't miss a 5:40 from Liverpool Street.
Me too. Well, not Geoffrey though. I'm Butchie Stewart from Ladies Lingerie. Now, see you soon, Shona. And don't forget to have an epidural.
Bye. Oh, bye. I really love you all.
You, up there. The woman with the Peter Pan collar. Just stay calm. Whatever you do, don't jump, lady. Just stay where you are and I'll send up a sympathetic WBC specially trained in women's troubles.
Shona has stopped the traffic. A large crowd has gathered. This is inevitable. Shona is perched on a windowsill 150 feet above Oxford Street. Meanwhile, let's pop over to the Fulham Road, where Geraldine is waiting for her mother, Lillian, who likes to be fashionably late. Being prompt smacks of desperation, says Lillian, which is just an excuse. Lillian is always late because it takes a long time for a 65-year-old woman to look 20 years younger.
Mother, over here.
Oh, darling. I do wish you'd call me Lillian. Happy birthday, sweetheart. Do you like my blouse? Pure silk. Can't decide whether it's burgundy or plum.
It's gorgeous.
Glad you like it. I was going to give it to you for your birthday, but this morning I just couldn't decide what to wear, so I unwrapped your prezi and popped it on. Good job, too. It's only a size 10. What on earth has happened to your bosoms? We don't have cleavages in my family. Bosoms are for barmaids. They're terribly common. Is that a wonder bra?
I'm afraid it's all me. It's quite common for women in my condition. Grandma?
Shh! Not even as a joke. Oh, it's bad enough to have a middle-aged daughter who insists on calling me mother in public to remind me that I'm entitled to a bus pass. God forbid I should ever be a grandmother. I'd be the laughingstock of my Lombarda class. Geraldine, I forbid you to give birth.
Oh, don't talk daft, Mother. This is my last chance.
But I can't be a granny. I can't knit. And anyway, you'll be a hopeless mother. You used to dismember your dolls. And Dominic was the maternal one. I used to think it was such a shame. You should have been the boy and he should have been the girl. He was always much prettier than you.
He sent a card.
Oh, I knew I'd forgotten something. Still, when you get to your age, one doesn't like to make a fuss. I just can't get over it. You were pregnant. Robert will leave you, mark my words. You'll be a single 40-year-old parent. Oh, it's too depressing. I'm so glad I had my children when I was little more than a child.
Oh, Mother, that's a big fib. You had me when you were 25. I know how old you are. You're not talking to Quentin or whoever the latest is.
Ivan, Romanian, desperately sweet, 24, cries very easily.
You're weird. You say you don't like children, but you're quite happy to sleep with them.
Geraldine.
Would Madam and her sister like to order?
Oh, Christ.
Geraldine has no appetite. Her mother gives her acid stomach, always has. As a child, Geraldine was off school a lot with tummy ache, but being at home with her mother would make it worse. To add to the tension, sitting at the next table is a distraught 30-something with an unruly child.
And there is someone who should never have had children. Look at her, Geraldine. That could be you. She's on her third glass of wine, I know, because I've been counting.
He is a bit of a handful.
This isn't a restaurant for children. We're not on the continent. Oh, I blame that wretched Channel tongue.
Perhaps he's not very well.
In the head, you mean?
No, but it's just not normal, is it, for a child to lie under the table like that for no reason?
She's given up the mother. Look, she's chain-smoking. Probably gave him brain damage in the womb.
You smoked when you were pregnant with us.
Peter Stuyvesant menthol, and I didn't inhale. Excuse me, can't you control your child?
No, I can't. Can you? It's all I can do to stop myself from beating him black and blue. I don't know what's wrong with him. I wanted a nice little girl who loved ballet and all things pink. But what do I get? Son of Satan. Well, look at him. You can tell he's possessed. Green stuff always oozes out of the demonic. Oh, God, I'm so unhappy. Some days Prozac just isn't enough.
Madam?
All right, we're going. Come here.
Get off me, Mum.
What a monster. Simply riddled with attention deficit disorder. Some women just shouldn't have them. Geraldine, are you listening to me? Geraldine, come back! Geraldine, you haven't paid for your birthday lunch! Geraldine, you've left your gloves behind. Oh, they're just my size. I'm having them.
Geraldine is palpitating in the lift. She has acid stomach and a headache. Yvette is in another lift. She is visiting Kelly. Kelly lives on the 13th floor of a high-rise. This lift smells. Gravity-defying Alsatian turds pile up artistically in the corner. Yvette picks her way through polystyrene burger cartons and thanks the lift god that at least the elevator's working.
Well, I ain't one to say I told you so, Yvette, but that leathery Larry has got bastard tattooed right across his forehead.
Yeah, but he only did that for a bet one bank holiday weekend.
You take my word for it, girl. You're in a rotten, terrible, almost hopeless state, but you're still better off without him.
I think you're right, Kill. Do you know he offered me 200 quid to get rid of it?
Slimy skunk.
And that's not all. When I counted it out, it was 30 quid short.
Sorry, Yvette. Kevin's new football strip cost £29.99.
I didn't know what to do, Kel. I was so hurt and confused.
Oh, you poor love. You should have called me straight away. I'd have sorted him out.
I was so mad, I walked all the way to the West End. Every time I put foot to gravel, I imagined I was treading on his face.
That'd be an improvement.
Well, there I was, just walking down Oxford Street, minding my own business, when all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. Turns out some silly cow's about to do herself in by jumping out of a window, and there's people everywhere, and the road's all blocked off. Next thing I know, I've been pushed into Topshop, and I've blown 100 quid on clothes that are already too small for me. Oh, Kelly, I've made such a mess of things.
No, Lycra's marvellous these days. It'll stretch right out over your bump, and after you've had the baby, you soak it in a tub of chlorinated water and it shrinks back. I wish they'd had it in my day. I had to make do with me mum's old nighties, powdered egg stains and all.
Well, it's not entirely a disaster, because I found my way into mother care and spent the rest on stuff for the baba.
Oh, give us a look. Oh, beautiful. A Beavis and Butthead romper suit. I take it you've told your dad.
Almost.
Almost ain't good enough. You can't get almost pregnant now, can you?
No, you cannot. Oh, Kel, I can't. He'll kill me. Besides, it'll break his heart. I'm the only daughter of the only woman he ever really loved, and she's dead. I just can't, Kelly. Surely you see my problem.
I see a bleeding mess, that's what I see. Look, tell you what, I'll come with you.
Really?
Yeah, I'll come over tonight right after Emmerdale and we'll tell him together. Well, you'll do the talking and I'll be there to catch the china.
I love you, Kel. You're as good as a mum to me.
Yeah, well, thank your lucky stars I'm not. My kids bleating ain't me.
Ah, Rivette, I shall be back. But how's Ian, our Mr. Shona? Silly old Ian. He does make me laugh, and I mean that in the unkindest way. Ian's off work today, thanks to a Legionnaire's disease scare at his office. Shona has just got in. She asked the nice, handsome police constable who drove her home to drop her off on the corner. What would the neighbours think?
Ian? Ian! Where are you?
Up here, pumpkin. Right above you.
Oh, Ian, what are you doing up there?
Well, you know how this flat's a tad small for three persons. Well, for one, really. But it was a bargain in its day.
Just answer the question, Ian. I don't want to cry again.
Well, I got to thinking that if I was to create a mezzanine-type effect by building a mezzanine in the room, we could use that for the nursery and a spare room when the little one moves out.
Oh, Ian, don't be ridiculous.
Well, a dining room, then. You're always saying it'd be nice to have your lap free at mealtimes.
But, Ian, you've made such a mess. There's bits of wallpaper and chipboard all over the shop. What if I inhale something toxic and our tiny bundle of love winds up with an allergic reaction? Oh, Ian, I couldn't live with myself if I were the cause of him, stroke, her, developing asthma.
Perhaps you're right. Perhaps a mezzanine is a mite ambitious. I know. I'll erect a shelf above our bed. The little angel can sleep on that.
Oh, I don't know. What about getting up in the middle of the night? It'll be very awkward for breastfeeding.
Oh, not to worry. I'll borrow a ladder from work and leave it in the wardrobe. Oh, pass it up, will you, love? Shona!
I can't find the blessed thing. Oh, Ian, you've got everything of a hodgepodge. I don't know what's the matter with you men. Doesn't the word proper place mean anything to you?
There it is, under the Penelope Leith box collection. Oh, watch out, I'm coming down. Sitting ball!
Oh, Ian, you pillock. It's Geronimo. Can't you even get the right Native American Indian?
Oh, no doubt, dear. Look, putting up those hormones. Hello, Gordon family residence. Soon to be another addition. No, pull the plug, darling. I can't hear the caller. Well, let me turn this off. Hello, who is this, please? Trevor!
Oh, no.
How are you, old boy? Oh, well, sinuses do run in your family. Really? Oh, yeah, that's a terrible operation. When's that? Of course you can, old boy. No trouble. No, she'd love it.
What?
7:30 a.m. Righto, see you then.
Oh, what is it, Ian? What does that dreadful man want?
Calm down now, Huggy Toes. He's a very old family friend and he thinks the world of you.
Oh, no, in his world, I'm not sure if that's a compliment.
Look, Trevor's going to be in town for the Randall and Hopkirk deceased conference and I've said he could stay here with us.
Where, Ian? Where? Have you gone mad? We haven't even got room for this week's Radio Times, never mind a fat lad from Lancashire. Oh, Ian, how could you?
Oh, Shona Buttercup. I really think you're overreacting. I mean, it's not as if you're staying for weeks on end. It's just for...
How long, Ian? How long?
Just a fortnight.
Oh! I shouldn't laugh. No one else is laughing. Shona gnashes her teeth, Geraldine bites her lip, and Yvette weeps as she walks all the way home in the rain. By coincidence, Geraldine is on her way home too. At least she is in a taxi.
Terrible weather.
Oh, I'll have it. Large more pockets it does.
Of course, I suppose it does.
Every day when I wake up and see the sun, I think, sod it. I hope it pisses there.
Really?
Sheets of rain, buckets of hail, I'm happy. I wouldn't say no to the odd tornado, neither.
Driver, stop the cab. Excuse me. Hello?
Yeah?
You're in Davenport Avenue, aren't you?
Yeah, so?
I'm at number 4. Hop in. I'll give you a lift.
I ain't got any money.
Don't worry. Quickly, get in. You're getting soaked.
Rotten day, innit?
Yes. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm knackered as well.
So am I. I think I'll put my feet up when I get in.
I've got to do my dad's tea. Otherwise, I'd put my feet up too. Stop!
Oh, no, do me brief.
Are you all right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really sorry. It must have been something I ate.
Yeah, well, you can go through it and find out exactly what it was, if you like. Bleeding hell, I'd have been on my shift half an hour.
I'm sorry. Thanks for the lift. Bye.
That'll be 38 quid.
What?
Valeting services, lady. I've got a living to make.
Yvette is sick of being sick. It keeps happening. These days, she needs a bucket of Dettol and a mop with her at all times. Yvette wants to wipe down her vinyl jacket. She wants to clean her teeth. But most of all, she wants to be alone.
That's you, Yvette.
Yeah, Dad.
Fancy coming out for a drink after tea, love?
No, till.
Come on. We never see you out and about these days. You want to get yourself a life, my girl.
Oh, yeah. Like going to the pub with me dad's what you call living, is it? I'd rather stay in and bleach my eyebrows.
Ho, here, made of steel you are, Yvette. I'm telling you, on my life, Lady Thatcher's got nothing on you.
I'm sorry, Dad. I'm just a miserable cow. I can't help it.
Yeah, I know you can't. It runs in the family, girl.
Dad.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop working on the stall.
Mm. You what?
You heard.
Why would you want to do that, eh? Oi, the Martin's Fresh Seafood stall has been a going concern for generations, my young lady. You can have a real career there, my girl. Come on. What do you want to go chucking it all away for?
I hate it, right?
Don't you ever say that. Never say that. It's the same as saying you hate your mar and par.
What?
Yeah, that was a line from Gone with the Wind, and I've always wanted to say it. But seriously, Yvette, look at you. You got no qualifications. You're as thick as a roll mop. Where are you going to get a better opportunity, eh?
I'm going to work in fashion, all right?
Oh.
I'm going to get a job in a boutique and then I'm going to go to college and study textile design. I've got plans for my life. Do you hear? Plans, and they don't include poxy fish.
Wait, steady on, lass. I'm only thinking of you.
Besides, I can't stand the smell anymore. It's revolting.
You saying I smell?
You don't smell, Dad. You bleeding stink. Now, I'm sorry if I've hurt your feelings, but I've got a lot on my mind, all right?
No, it ain't all right. Now, look, you come... Oi, come back here when I'm talking.
Make me.
Right, it's that bleeding leathery Larry, isn't it? He's a bad influence on you, my girl.
Well, you'll be happy to know we broke up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that I'm sorry to hear that, because he was a snivelling swine. Oh, well, at least he didn't get you up the spout.
Oh, shut up!
Oh, kids, who'd ever, mate?
You tell me! I'm going to have a bath!
Yeah, well, hurry up. You'll miss Emmerdale.
Not a happy day, then, for my girls. How emotional they are. Blame it on the weather. Blame it on the hormones. Blame it on me. Life is not easy. I make quite sure of that. On Baby Street was written by Jenny Eclair and Julie Ballou. Mother Nature was played by Jenny Eclair, Yvette Tilly Vosborough, Dad Keith Allen, Shona Caroline Hook, Ian Graham Fellows, Robert Hugh Ross, Geraldine Frances Barber, Kelly Kathy Burke, Sophie Elliot Nichols, Larry Kevin Eldon, Lillian Eva Stewart, Kevin James Sutton, and all other parts were played by members of the cast. The producer was Jane Batuu.